Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. You're invited to a special town hall meeting. Carolla Drinks presents the Reasonable Doubt Town Hall with Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla. Admission is $30 and includes two free drinks. Your ticket will also include a free download of Mistrial by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson. Don't wait, tickets are going fast. The Reasonable Doubt Town Hall, Thursday, July 20th. It's 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ray. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects. And now, outraged that CNN's 90s documentary didn't include Loveline, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Never thought about that. Now I'm outraged. Yeah, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you. And we rely on you. And we love that. We'll see you guys at Caesar's Palace on Thursday night. And you guys will be there with your friends and your boyfriends and your husbands and your dads and your brothers, and it'll be a story about this guy turning that guy onto the show and vice versa, and this gal with that guy. We love that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
It's so damn hot.
Speaking of Caesar's Palace,
yeah,
108 out there.
It'll be balmy.
We're going to do a what is it?
Tales from the cheap.
Tales from the cheap. Yeah, the Beat the Heat edition. It's a good idea. It smells like Mike Lynch. Is that got, does it got Mike Lynch's smell on it?
You know, that's a Dylan idea, as far as I can tell.
That's good.
Lynch?
Yeah, I was, I don't know if you guys sitting down, I was complaining about my horrible parents.
What?
But when I lived in the A-frame house that was the $13,000 house that my dad bought in modern times and modern civilization called North Hollywood off of Gentry Street on Oxnard and Laurel Canyon. When the weather would get like it is now, I slept in the loft up top.
Isn't it hotter?
Yes, it is hotter.
Oh, I thought you were saying to beat the heat.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I phrased it wrong. I always slept in the loft, and that's if we'll put the picture up at amcarolla.com. You guys have seen it before, but there's a very small window in the upper left of this thing, and I went from the service porch of my mom's house, which when you looked up, you saw exposed 2x4s. Those were the rafters. And just the underside of plywood. There is no insulation. There's no anything. And you guys, you think it's bad in a house that has no air conditioning or swamp cooler, whatever, fans, whatever. Yeah. Go into an uninsulated just sort of box, like just 2x4s and roofing, no insulation, and then go to the top of that box. As a matter of fact, not that anyone would be foolhardy enough to do this, but you have no idea. Well, you have some idea. If you sit in your house and the air condition's not on, it's just hot in your house, then go ahead and head up in your attic and then feel what that feels like.
Sure.
Grab a sleeping bag.
Go ahead and stand in your attic or squat down in your attic and then go all the way to the top and sort of put your hand up at the peak where the ridge rafter is. You'll feel it's so much hotter just at the very top as the heat all goes up. So reason 127, why I'd like to have my parents put in a wood chipper is forget the air conditioning. We didn't have any air conditioning or anything, but we didn't have a fan. Like, we didn't have a box fan that you'd set up on a bookshelf or something.
Order.
I never really thought about how cheap they were as opposed to just poor they were. It's kind of hard to untangle those two things. Like, both my parents are exquisitely cheap.
But fans are the cheap answer to air conditioning. Like, if you can't do air conditioning, like, that's the sign of cheapness.
But I'm
like,
doing
all over the house.
I'm doing, no, I, this is why I never really thought about this. Like, again, my dad's the world's worst businessman. While lobbying for the leasing of a third or fourth luxury car, paid for insurance and all by me, he chooses to drive his wife's CRV to my house because he wanted to save on gas. He didn't really admit it at the time, but I've now realized what he's doing. What nobody ever really factors in is from his house to my house is approximately 19 miles. I mean, I'd have to weigh it, but you'd be surprised. Like, you think the beach is 50 miles away. The beach is 22 miles away. Like, things seem a little... Why you should have more respect for marathoners. Like, you don't know how far 26 miles gets you out of town.
Yeah.
So at 22 miles or 19 miles or 18 and a half miles, the Honda CR-V, which gets 31 on the highway or 29 on the highway versus the Jag I was leasing him that got 20 or 21 or 19. But for that short a distance of time, you're talking about saving 31 cents in gas. Like, you don't really break it. That's what dumb poor people do. Is they don't really, before they squeeze the trigger, they need to really break it down. Like, the CR-V is not free. And then the thing that makes him a total idiot is one car's being leased and the other you own. So you're putting mileage and wear and tear on the transmission and the fluids and the tires and everything else, which far exceeds the 31 cents in just straight mileage you've saved.
Every mile not driven is money saved.
Right, and more than whatever 30% gas savings when gas was $1.81 a gallon
pennies.
Times 1 gallon to get to my house. But anyway.
Pennywise and pound foolish.
Stupidity. No, as I was thinking about it last night, I realized, and then also, you can't imagine living in this without air conditioning, without a fan, without a pool, without a plan. No, here's what it is. My family is exceedingly cheap, but super poor and always hid behind the poor. The cheap part comes in, not that they couldn't find a fan or wouldn't pay for a fan. My mom would buy a fan at secondhand. Everything was garage sales for her. Running a fan all night. That's spinning that just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not like you have a 3,000 gallon saltwater aquarium with LED lighting in it, but
it brings comfort, so it must be arrested.
They, now that I think about it, did not want the meter spinning
while you're unconscious
in the middle of the night, and that's why those dickheads didn't put it up. I know it.
That's child abuse.
It is. It's first off, it's hotter than shit, but that room is hotter than whatever the rest of it is.
Well, and the room you grew up in, and we saw the little house with the little tiny window. That's where you keep hostages. So you don't keep your own child up there with no fan.
No, you don't.
Brie Larson's up there, the kid.
Yeah,
you don't keep him there because it's too obvious. It's the first place the FBI goes. You keep him under the stairs like Bad Ronald. All right, so that's how you're going to beat the heat.
Well,
all right, so that is my family. They don't have. I wish there was a cheap.
Did they have creative ways of beating the heat? Did they leave the fridge open?
Can you imagine?
My dad, again, and like just the annals of how much work it takes to be poor. We always talk about you have to park, then you have to go move the car because the street sweeper's coming. You don't have a driveway. You don't have a garage. You have to park on the street, and the street, you got to go move it, and that thing of, I used to go to the ATM and take out $20 at a time. That's it. That's all I could really afford. It's usually it's like $20, maybe $40 or $60.
Yep.
They charge $1 every time. I by the time I got to $300 for what I would take out now, it'd be $300, still charge $1. This would charge $5 every $100. I'd pay $15 by the time I got to $300, but I couldn't afford, like, and the effort of going to the ATM and all right. So, wait, what was the question?
Creative ways of beating the heat, which you had none.
Well, they had none. My dad had he never had a credit card, but at some point he got a charge card for Sears, and the charge card, like, it's back when he had a charge card for like Sears or JCPenney or something. So theoretically, we could get a durable good from Sears and like pay it off.
Later. Are charge cards still around? I don't know what that is. Card. What's the difference between a charge card and a credit card?
I always thought it was the same
thing. They had a Sears. Oh, yeah, they have Home Depot cards.
Okay.
Yes,
it's just another word. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The brand did for specifically Banana Republic or whatever it is.
Yeah, there was. Now, one is a gift certificate. Home Depot has a Home Depot card.
And they'll bill you at the end of the month. And yeah. Like a credit card. Okay.
Yeah. And you'll get little deals, dividends, whatever. But I think you could do things on layaway, but it wasn't technically layaway. You could pay off. My dad, Gary, you tell me if you can find this thing. Oh, I just put something together.
I'm also very close to knowing the exact number of miles between your houses.
This is the Hollywood house. Yeah. Gotcha. And my dad out in Altadena or wherever it is. Okay. I never put this together, but my mom, the world's cheapest, dumbest woman, in her miniature kitchen. I mean, the footprint on that thing, when the counters and the stove and everything, the working space in the middle of the kitchen was like 4.5 by 5. Like, that was the square of it. In that square somewhere was the mobile dishwasher, that big rolling contraption that you'd have to pull the thing out, hook it up to the spigot and everything. And like, it's so weird. I still marvel at it. Like, when I when the wife and kids go out of town, I just have one plate, one fork, one mug, and one glass. They just sort of sit in the sink. And then when it comes time to have a beer, I rinse it off. Yeah. I shake it out. I pour the beer in it. The next morning, and then when I'm done with the beer, I put a shot of water. Next morning, if it's time to drink some Olga's green sludge, same glass. Just rinse it out a little, wipe it down, and then dump the green sludge. There's nothing in there. It's my germs. It's no big deal.
Yep.
Same with the fork. Same with the plate. You know, I'll even let Philly cheesesteak, like, clean it off, and then I'll drop it in there and just run a little hot water and slosh it around, maybe wipe the sponge.
You got the one spoon for peanut butter, you know, throughout the day. You have a little bite, you put it back, you have a little bite, you put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you leave your footprints as small as possible.
Right. I don't even know what with the loading of the dishwasher and unloading. My mom was not the Emeril Lagasse. We didn't make anything at my house. I didn't even know why we needed this dishwasher.
I'm imagining a very sad bam. Bam. Bam.
Freak out, bam.
Kick it up a notch.
So, she didn't cook. Like, what were we doing? We had TV dinners. Like, I don't know what was going on. And this big box just, like, rolling around.
Yeah, what was she washing?
To this day, I have these discussions with my wife and my nanny. And it's like, they'll do that thing where they'll go, like, they'll pause and they'll go, yeah, but it needs to be clean. Like I'm saying, yeah, I'm not saying roll it in a litter box until it picks up nuggets. I'm saying it is clean. It's whatever. It had juice. The glass had juice in it the day before. Now you rinse it out and you dump it on the thing. The next day you pour some milk in it. Like, who? It's done. All right. Anyway.
And plenty of us have lived plenty of time without a dishwasher.
When I remodeled my first house and I just lived in it alone, they're like, where are you going to put the dishwasher? And I was like, I don't want the dishwasher in that. Why do we need one? And they said, resale.
Yeah.
And other people want it.
Yeah. Okay, put it in, but I'm never going to use it. All right, so you see the dishwasher, you can go to amcroll.com, and it's taking up 30% of the floor space. And also, you have to spin it around and retract the hose and hook the hose up.
Oh,
and the spigot doesn't hook up well. It, like, squirts water out of the side. This thing of just being poor and stupid and whatever. And also, again, everyone, you know, the kids have been gone out of that house since, you know, 1975. And my mom, my stepdad just eat takeout at night and stuff. Like, they don't entertain. That's not like they're entertaining. Oh, man. We had a huge swingers event here over the weekend. There were goblets everywhere.
There were keys everywhere. Yeah. Keys and buckets.
Keys and buckets and goblets and chalices. So anyway, it's just stupid. And my dad, who got basically cursed with the same kind of, it's cheap meets low self-esteem meets stupid. He and Gary, you got to find, it's a mobile swamp cooler. I don't even know if they'll call it a swamp cooler. It's like 22 inches by 22 inches, and it sits off the ground. It's sadly about the same size as this thing. Mm-hmm. It's a little smaller. It has a tray. It has like a hopper in the bottom where you just dump
a bunch of water in,
water
right?
in it.
I used to have
the,
one of these.
The top has a squirrel fan. Squirrel fan is just like not like a fan, like a propeller, but right. It's like a whole bunch of little, like what a squirrel would run on, or hamster wheel of thing. And you'd fire it up, and it was like, it was okay. You could feel movement of air. You'd have to keep refilling it, and you'd have to keep, you know, find the ones like the wood grain from the 70s and the sheet metal, but you'd roll it to next to where you were on the sofa, and then you'd fire it up, like, and you couldn't hear
nice and quiet.
You couldn't hear the TV, and it was big, and it was square, and you'd have to, like, roll it back and forth. And much like my dad's house to my house, 18.3 miles, so again, when your car gets 7 miles more on the highway,
hell yeah!
What does that really amount to on just a less than 40 mile round trip? Mm. But okay, the thing isn't free. It's not free. Right. It's probably $129 at Sears, but a window mounted unit would have been $219. Right. Like for an extra $80, you could actually have cold air coming to your home and, while already living in the world's smallest home, not have a big sheet metal box rolling around in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, that's the thing I hope to instill in Tessa someday, is like the idea that for 40% more money, you get something that's 500% better. But like, if you're going to get a bargain, like get something half the price that's almost as good, right. Do that. Otherwise, get the thing that's a little more that's a lot better.
I have to explain to people all the time when they go, like they go, well, I like this leather baseball mitt over here. It's really nice, Raleigh. But that thing is $67. And then there's this bad vinyl one, and it's $39. Mm-hmm. But I don't like it that much. But I should really try to save money, and I don't want to spend, and blah, blah, blah. And I tell people all the time, it's not $60-something dollars versus zero. It's $60-something dollars worth versus 60% or 70% of that cost. Like, we only have to bridge this gap with $22 here. It's not, we're going to buy a mitt. I think people can't really think that way. Like, it's a of like, you're getting the pizza for $10 and you could have it just the way you love it for $13.75, but you're trying to save money. But you're right there.
Yeah.
Just go the extra $3.75. Mm-hmm. It's not $13.75 versus zero. It's $13.75 versus 10. And I think a lot of people's minds don't really
make
work
that
way.
Yeah.
Do yourselves a favor. Tessa's gonna have no problems growing up with you guys. She'll be fine.
I hope so.
She will.
Nobody has luxuries.
Nobody. You have that wired, my friend. Unless she goes full rebellion.
Yeah, just goes granola off. You know, doesn't want to spend money on anything. Everything's recycled.
Tyler, 32.
Oh, we got a
New York. Intro here. Oh, sorry, we got an intro. All right, we'll do that.
20-year-old Tupperware, homemade clothes, powdered eggs. It's time for Tales from the Cheap.
Gina, did you have a couple?
I have to say, I don't want to get cocky, but this might be the most one-upper story of any story we're going to get today.
Oh,
so
all right. I'm excited. I will say this to let people know. There's a last factor that you people need to know about, which is my wife grew up in a house in the valley with a swamp cooler that barely did anything either. So she had a miserable summer in the West Valley as well, but not equal to my misery. Why? Because she's the person who lays in bed when the ceiling fan is on and screams, "My forehead's cold." I'm the one who lays on top of the covers splayed out because I'm covering my own sweat because I just run hot. So think of breeds of dogs, you know, a little hairless, a little allergenic, whatever, little
poodle
whippet, Weimaraner. What is it?
Weimaraner.
All right. One of those dogs.
See, Wiesla.
Yeah.
Versus the big Newfoundland. Or the whatever it is.
Sheepdog.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was a big sheepdog. So I was hot. Yeah. Like, my son, when we... when we strapped that goddamn orthopedic helmet to his head, like sweat just started pouring down his head, like immediately. Natalia, that wouldn't have happened.
You had a matching tear down your cheek.
That's my boy. By the way, fuck that doctor. It's such bullshit. This is everyone is dying to get me to care about everything. We had a fucking specialist, and they're so in cahoots. Like, the doctor goes, well, I'm just a pediatrician. I'm not a cranial expert, but it seems to me like there might be a little problem. Why don't you just go to the expert? The expert's job is to find trouble, and that fucking quack literally said Sonny's glasses weren't going to sit right on his head. Now, look, again, stupid or liar. Like, either way, you need to be removed from your detail. You can't do your job. You're either... I just want to march my 11-year-old fucking son in there and go, hey, doctor, thank you very much. Look at him. And the doctor would go, oh, yeah, no asymmetry at all. The helmet worked beautifully. And I'd go, hey, douche, he never wore it for a fucking second. It just cost $4,000. Stop fucking gouging everybody. How can we even dream of a system that works when these are the people that are out there? You got the one guy, he's kicking you over to the next guy. That guy's recommending a helmet based on nothing. Sonny was always fine, and today is attractive. The head's fine. There's no asymmetry. There's no ain't. There's no signs of anything. You are
there's
fucking
a fine
quack
head.
Doctor.
Fine head.
Yes. I don't know why is this acceptable? And these aren't even the criminals. Like, these aren't the gangbangers or like the latchkey kids or, you know, what else? What a chance. Got to join a gang. He's gonna be claimed by the streets. These are people with PhDs that are just ripping everyone off.
Yeah.
Or they're horrible at their job. And what I was yelling last night at Kevin Hinch over dinner was, hey, fucksticks, you could have had my son 23 hours a day. 23 hours a day you're supposed to wear the corrective helmet. 23 hours a day for like 2 years. Oy. How about the sheer fucking misery index? How about the fact that the parents are going to fight over it constantly? Where's the hell? Did you put the helmet? How long? When did you put that? When did you put it on last night? You got to do the math.
He's already had his hour off.
He doesn't like it. He cries when I put it on.
Put the helmet on. Otherwise, it's going to go back. It's not going to do any good. Fuck you, you fucking piece of shit asshole doctor. You would have caused so much fucking trouble. Not to mention, how about just my son? How about the fact that we pulled it on his head, sweat started coming down his forehead, and he started crying? How about the fact that that kid would be sort of weirdly traumatized, like later on in life? Hey, we're going to go jet skiing. Put this helmet on. No! No!
Why am I reacting this way?
Sonny, we're trying out for the hockey team. No! We're getting to the MRI. All right. No!
All right, Sonny, your turn to bat. No!
Right. Fucking quack-ass doctor. Like, how about the kid being miserable for 2 years when he doesn't... You know he doesn't need this fucking helmet. How about that? How about the arguments that the couples are? How about just a sheer, like, oh, we went on vacation. Oh, where's the helmet? Oh, fuck, someone's got to UPS the helmet out now to Reno. We need that helmet. He can't go 2 days without the helmet.
You got to take it off, put it through security.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck them. And listen, everyone... If you want to know why I don't listen to anybody, this is exactly why. You know everything. You do know everything. These people know plenty, but they also want money.
Yeah,
don't want anyone's money. You just know instinctively what's going on.
And because this is aesthetic, something tells me insurance didn't cover any of it.
I don't even recall. I probably don't want to know. I just remember me saying, Lynette, please. Nobody we knew grew up with one of these things. I've never even seen one before Joel McHale's kid had one a few years ago. Could we have changed physiologically that much in this short a period of time? It's impossible.
You are the dumbest person alive. What is wrong with you?
And again, thinking of the heat. I was yelling at Hinch last night. 1970s, playing football, water was bad for you. Mm-hmm. You just, hey, just rinse and spit it out. You'll cramp up. So in the 70s, whole goddamn time I was out in this weather doing suicides, water was bad for you. Then we get to somewhere in the 90s and it's like, hey, how many ounces is your body weight? And they're like, you must drink half your weight in ounces every day. So if you're 200 pounds, you need 100 ounces of water every day. And I'm like, boy, that seems like a lot of water. Oh, yeah, you need it. Yeah. Your body needs
water,
it.
Water to drink it right now.
We got to flush out the system. We got to flush out the toxins. You got to flush out the bad vibes. We got to flush. So now we're in the 90s and the early 2000s. Like, what? Then you get to, like, 2005, and every nutritionist, like, are you drinking enough water? Mm-hmm. How much water are you drinking? I am drinking Lake Huron. Not enough. You need to add Lake Superior onto that. Like, okay, not drinking enough. And then I'm thinking, now I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, so everyone's carrying around water, but everyone's fat. Mm-hmm. So I'm screaming at Drew, why is everyone fat? But yeah, they're carrying around big jugs of water and they got the camel back and all that stuff and the camel toe for the ladies.
That's where you keep it.
But everyone's getting fatter. Smash cut to 2017. Latest survey is of doctors and nutritionists, but they talk to all the experts. You should drink when you're thirsty.
Don't force feed yourself water.
Yeah. Okay. And then picture the food pyramid with all the grains and the pastas and the whole wheat.
It's the worst.
Okay. We should,
it's a healthy base.
They should stop talking is what they should do, right? Like, what the fuck? We have to listen to people? Like, the water's bad. Oh, no, you need to drown. Your liver needs to be floating in water. Now it's like, I'll just drink when you're thirsty. By the way, which I've been screaming at my wife the whole time the kids have been alive, which is they'll drink when they're thirsty, just like you'll urinate when you have to urinate. Our body knows.
Right.
All right, so what's with the experts? And then at what point do they get cut from the expert team? You know what I mean? We go, you no longer have valid opinions. You were wrong about this and you're wrong about
10 years
that.
It turned out to be wrong.
Educated guesses. They're just guesses.
Yes. All right, do we play our intro? I can't remember. All right.
And Tyler has one, and I have one, and we got another one up there.
I want to hear yours. First, I want to hear about Alone, man. Back for a fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists. They're still dropped in an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, and sons. They got a married couple in there. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks. No forced challenges. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each. To win, they must find each other and survive the North Vancouver Island the longest. I love this idea. What a show. $500,000 at stake. Now, that's a prize, man. Not some Z-Brick and a trip to Palm Desert. Now, 500,000 big ones. Tune in for an all-new season and all-new episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central on History. That is new episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central. And it's only on History. All right, Gina, let me hear one of yours.
All right. So I moved to New York right after college, moved in with my boyfriend. We lived in Queens. And this was one of the hottest summers on record in New York. It was sweltering. It was horrible. And we didn't have a ton of money. We could have scrounged together and bought an air conditioner. But they kept saying, oh, the heat wave's going to break soon. Just hold on. And we didn't want to spend, $200, $250 for something that we weren't going to need in 2 weeks.
Right.
So we were just the fan and laying around sweating. And like you said, naked, splayed out, just dying, desperate. And then it came to me. I remember we used to have a fourth grade class bunny that sat in the classroom and everyone got to bring it home once a weekend.
We did too.
And did the teacher ever tell you this?
You got to bring it home?
Yeah.
For like a few days.
For the weekend and bring it back. Yeah.
What about allergies?
No allergies.
Yeah, it didn't affect.
So the teacher said, because it's hot out, make sure you freeze a 2-liter bottle and put it in their cage and the rabbit will just kind of lay along it to cool itself. And I was like, aha. So we emptied every 2-liter we had, froze them all, and for 2 weeks slept in the fetal position, each holding 2-liter bottles frozen against our naked bodies while we slept.
Did it work?
We were really wet and rashy in the morning.
I was going to say that.
And still sweating.
It will melt.
It's good. I think it's good. It'll put you down.
Yeah.
It'll put you down.
Yep. Miserable wake up.
You're going to wake up with a...
pretty gross.
When I was in Irwindale last week, it was so hot where we were. Again, it was hot outside. It was 104 degrees outside, but in this sea of asphalt with no shade to be found, the air conditioner in my trailer just started to labor. Like, it was like, it couldn't keep up with the heat. You got to ask yourself, how are you going to beat the heat? This wasn't it. So it was like, it was 107 degrees outside, and inside it was 86, but it couldn't keep up what? It could keep it 20 degrees off, but it couldn't keep it a comfortable 30 degrees off. So at a certain point when I was trying to take a nap, I just went and grabbed a ice. There was an ice bag in the freezer, and I just like slid it down my pants, dropped my shirt over it, and just fell asleep on my back. Like,
so you pulled this kind of move.
Your body, if you take, you know what they were doing too, was actually nice. When we were filming, when we were looking at the camera, the makeup lady or the whoever would take a cold bottle of water out of the cooler, hand it to you, and just slide it right down the small of your back into your ass crack. Your belt would sort of hold it up, this half in, half out, just this freezing bottle of water right at the small of your back on your spine. Makes a huge, I mean, same thing. Really? That's like putting your hands in the campfire or something, you know, just that one little
doesn't make sense to warm your whole body,
but area, but it does.
That
you
makes
get that
sense,
cold
though.
Thing right at the small of your back.
Because the spine kind of sends the sensors out everywhere else.
Yeah. She came back like 20 minutes later. She's like, you need another cold bottle? I was like, yeah. And by the way, we're making tea. But go ahead.
It's bubbling.
Oh, and by the way, just let me, as an addendum, the joke was on us because we slept like this for 2 weeks. It was vile. The bed sheets were just wet, and we were wet and sweaty and broken bottles and just the worst. We finally caved, spent $300 on an air conditioning unit. One night, it was unbelievable, and the next day, it was 65 degrees, and I don't think we ever used it again.
That's why
we
my dad called
out.
It a fool's errand.
There you go.
So do you want that to happen to us?
Speaking of ice packs, pulling ice packs out of the freezer, I lived the first 33 years of my life without any air conditioning, and then one day when I was living, I guess, right after college, it was really hot. I had a box fan. I took a cold pack out of the freezer and put it right in front of the fan, and it actually blew, like, cool air on. Like, cooler than it was. It wasn't air conditioning, obviously, but
This is all going to buy you like 25 minutes, so hopefully you can pass out.
Right. Yep.
And then you'll wake up covered in your own flop sweat at like 4 in the morning. But this it's just got to get you down.
Did you guys ever make fan forts when you were little? My mom did let us
do that.
Because really?
No, never once.
No.
She didn't want to run the air conditioner, so she would let us sleep in a fan fort, which we'd get hypothermia in the middle of the night and go back to bed. But you get a box fan and some tape and a sheet, and you tape the sheet to the box fan to the ground, and you get inside, turn the fan on high, so it stays billowing.
It's all just part of that calories burnt being poor.
I did get very good at night when it got cooler outside than it was in my apartment upstairs. Yeah. I did put the box fan in the window like use a hanger to like hang it so it like held just right. And then get the drape so it wouldn't let it, you know what I mean? Like kind of a
sealer.
A very, very, very cheap seal. Yeah. But it did make the room much cooler.
I had my buddy Chris, his parents were modest home, nothing that exciting, just a little box, you know, sort of decent little place in North Hollywood, but they had central air. And when I would sleep at his house a lot, like during the summer, and I would at some point get up from whatever I was sleeping on or in and go lay by the register on the floor where it was coming out from the wall. And there was two things I liked. First off, I would get up, and while everyone was asleep, I'd turn it down like 3 degrees. Number two,
ballsy.
I would go lay where it was coming out of the wall. More like a superstitious native. Like, so for me, we had these big sheet metal boxes we'd roll around the house, or nothing, or the window mount thing that would just be buzzing away, just sort of perched in the window. But the notion that it was magically being cold air was magically being spit out of a wall with no buzzing and no plug coming down,
it's
extension cord.
The gods like them better than you.
Yeah, it was like manna from heaven. Like, what is this cold air? Like, I was used to cold air. It's like, here's your unit. It's in your stepdad's bedroom, which doubles for your TV room, and you can sit in there. But when it comes time to go to bed, you have to go to the sweat box in the back of the house on the service porch. But the idea that it would just spit into every room was bizarre to me. Sad.
So
also, on a
sort of theme.
on the exact opposite temperature note, I would love to hear stories. We'll do the stories on Tales of the Cheap, but the stories about sort of half hearing how to do something that seems like a really good idea, but not really taking notes, and then fast forward a few months and you're in that situation and you're now trying to recreate
how do they say to do it?
Really cool tip you heard. I went camping when I was like 21. Nah, I must have been like 19 with my buddies. We went up to the top of the hill there. And because my family's my family, I never owned a sleeping bag. That's like exotic stuff, especially a mummy bag, you know. It's a luxury item. So I would go camping. I'd be like, all right, I'll bring wear sweatpants under my jeans. And I just would bring the blanket from my bed. It's a thin, orange, weird Dacron pile, weird polyester stupid thing. I'd just take it from my bed. By the way, I know it was some sort of weird polyester thing, because one time when there's a small heater fire, like the just sort of, you know, coil heater thing, it caught on fire one night and it burnt and it melted. The blanket melted. So it wasn't whatever Oprah's pushing on her show, or it's made out of old blue jeans or something.
Yeah, it's not on the Goop site.
Not that. But I was up there on the top and my buddies were all in sleeping bags, and it got cold, and it got super cold, and then it got colder, and all I had was this blanket, and I was freezing. Like, I thought I might not make it through the night. Like, I put on everything I had. I put on two pair of jeans and the sweatpants. I was using socks for gloves and stuff. Then I remember I saw, like, some old Boy Scout movie or something where they said, you make yourself a little hole, like a little bed, and then you take the hot rocks from the fire. Lay them on the hot bed. Then you put another bed of leaves on top of it. And then you lay down on top of this warm. And they showed them all comfy. And, of course, the thing was squared off and uniform and six inches deep all the way across.
How did Adam
burn
to death?
Yeah. And then so I found myself like going, okay. And I was like, reach in. My hand would burn on one rock. And the other one was like too cold. The other was like, the rock was hot on one side, cold on the other. I couldn't sleep on the rock. I couldn't dig the hole. I was like trying to recreate this thing.
And of course, you're tired and it's pitch black.
Yeah. It seemed like a great plan. Didn't work at all. All right. I like this one. It's kind of in the vein of Gina's situation over there in New York. Jethro, Madera, California, 34.
Yes, sir. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
This fine, warm weather that we're having.
Yeah.
My father, what had happened was...
Wait a minute. I screwed up something. Sorry.
There you go.
There we go.
Punch hold tight, Jethro.
Sorry about that. Jethro, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. No. So what had happened was we did have central air. We were classy that way growing up. But the Freon had a leak in one of the coils. So, of course, Freon escapes. And my father was trying to save a little bit of money. We were probably about 3 weeks away from fall. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm just going to rig up some misters around the coils because, you know, scientifically this should work. So he hooks up the misters. It's working pretty good. And all of a sudden we hear creaking up top. It's probably about 3 days in. And the unit just basically went straight through the roof.
Wow. Into the house?
No, it was in the crawl space, luckily. So it didn't make it all the way through. I love, as you know, Adam, as a builder, there's a lot of truss work and, you know, joicing going through there. So it's pretty difficult to get it all the way through.
Right.
Only the raccoons died.
Right. But the unit was on the roof and went through the roof, but not into the house through the ceiling. Went through the rafters, but not through the joists. That was
saying? Yeah, because the pan. Yeah, because the pan, I guess, had gotten plugged up at some point and just kept on just filling up with water, filling up, and then it ended up costing, I think, another $1,500 with the homeowner's insurance. Luckily.
I am telling you people, Brian, you are a perfect candidate for the whole house fan.
Tell me more, because we just replaced the AC unit and part of the ceiling.
I will tell you this. You live on the west side.
Yes, sir.
The west side, where Brian is, he's not at the ocean, but still where he is, probably runs 15 degrees, maybe even 20, cooler in the doggiest days of summer.
Last 2 days peaked at about 90, 91.
All right, well.
Up here is
103 or whatever. Yeah, yeah. All right, so there you go. Now, what you do, and I'm telling you, these things are great. You people should all do this. I was just talking to an HVAC guy. As a matter of fact, all right, everyone should do this. All right, everyone listen to me.
Tell me.
Okay, we were sitting in a big old gymnasium in La Cañada, and we're playing basketball last Sunday night, and it was sweltering in there. And what they do in this big old gymnasium is they have these big old industrial fans. They just kind of put them in the door, and it brings the air in. But really what you need is to get the hot air out. And when the hot air goes, it gets replaced. It's just the dynamic of this is something you guys, you really have to, if you put a fan in one window and fire it up and then just go crack another window on the other side of the room, you'll feel the air come rushing. Like it wants to fill the void, like water would if you removed water, just come flowing in.
It'll suck air in.
Right. It sucks. The air just goes in to fill the void. You take this unit, you put it on the ceiling of your house somewhere centralized, you fire it up, you slide the kitchen window open or what have you with a screen on it, and you'll feel the outside come in to pressurize the house. It takes the hot air that is in your house, it kicks it out into the attic. The attic then has another fan vent that's solar powered, which is nice, that just keeps turning. You can also set a thermostat, so it like gets hotter than 90 in your attic. Because why do you want to wear a hat that's 140 degrees when you're trying to cool the rest of the skull? You know what I mean? You're putting this super hot hat on, and then you have to work even that much harder to cool. So what people don't realize is between what's going on in the attic and where you're living is a half inch of drywall. That's it. Between the, you know, you go up in the attic and say, oh my God, it's 147 degrees. You would die. If you tried to spend more than 45 minutes up here, you would literally die. And then you go back below and you say, I'm going to bed. Yep. And there's a half inch of sheetrock or maybe 5/8. And then sometimes there's some rolled insulation or blown insulation or something. But why not get that area down 25 degrees?
Yeah. Okay,
number
so
one,
the whole home fan.
The whole home. Boom, that goes in the ceiling.
And this is not a ceiling fan. This is like a unit. This is like a
box. It's in the ceiling.
Okay.
It's in the drywall. Mm-hmm. You have a remote. Fire it low or high or whatever. That pulls it out of the house and kicks it up into the attic. Once it gets up into the attic, you then route it to the fan that's up top, which is running off the solar thing, which is now pulling it all out. You're taking the hot air and spitting it all out of there. Now, it's not replacing air conditioning, because when it's 105 outside, you need air conditioning because the air you're pulling in is hot. Mm-hmm. But when it gets a little cooler, or at nighttime after a hot day or whatever, whatever that may be. Or sometimes even it's good, like if you're just like cooking and somebody burns something and it's like a little smoky or whatever. Or sometimes
it just gets hotter in the kitchen when Christy's, you know, cooking in there.
And it's incredibly energy efficient.
Sometimes it's like, I don't know, sometimes you pull out like some lacquer thinner or something to clean something off the coffee table or whatever, and it smells weird when you just fire it up. It just like sucks it all out. And it's a lot cheaper than air conditioning.
But you can't have this in an envelope house, correct? Because that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes, I think you can't have.
Brian, you can have it. The rest of us.
That's a great idea.
Tyler, 32, New York.
Hey guys, how's it going? Get it on.
Get on, man. What's going on?
So I'm the chess guy. I've called a couple times to talk to you guys about and complain about chess. And the chess shop there, there was an epidemic.
The chess shop.
In some of the hotter years.
You're that
in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It plays that drop every time.
You're that so
there was an there was an epidemic of people who would go to the coffee station and grab a paper towel and just wipe off their brow and throw the towel away. So there was a manager.
The paper towel away, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's a manager who would go through the garbage at the end of every day, and they would find all the paper towels that weren't soiled in a visible way. And she bought a one of those art racks that you dry kids' watercolor paintings on.
Right.
And she just dried all the paper towels in the back room.
This is a great use of time and resources.
I kind of like, now, she was managing the place, right?
I'm sorry, she was the owner.
Oh, the owner, sorry. Okay, because I was going to say, if she was like a manager and not the owner, I would love this person.
Yeah.
I love that. I like where their head's at.
Yeah. You like
we
heads
could
at.
Get sued, but I like where their head's at. But
she's working harder, not smarter, though, because what's a stack of those going to cost?
Well, but you do that, right, Adam?
I'll tell you what I do.
But it's sweat.
It is a bad carryover from my grandmother who would do this, but I will do this all the time, especially because I have Philly cheesesteak, and I have a swimming pool, and Phil's move is he likes to go in the swimming pool, and then at some point he likes to roll around like in the grass and dirt, whatever, and then he likes to trot in. And if there's a paper towel, and the paper towel's used to wipe up some Gatorade or some water or something, I'll just keep it and let it air out. And then later on, when I'm mopping up the floor after Phil's muddy paw prints, I'll use the same paper towel. But this is not that.
This is body fluids.
Yeah.
It's a health code violation.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I was thinking about that Yes song that's supposed to be about chess. You familiar with it?
Huh. I don't know it.
It's not Roundabout, is it? Dawson, which one is it?
Give me a second.
The problem with Yes songs
is I've seen All Good People.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's about chess?
Yeah.
I had no idea. We played all the time.
Nobody knew about it for a long time, but they start talking about chess moves. And Tyler, that should be your number one rock song, right?
Yeah, I guess it should be. I'll get it on my iPod right away.
Do you know it, Tyler?
I've seen All the Good People. No, I've never heard it.
This one. People turn their heads each day so
satisfied, I'm on my way. This song gets a lot of play on classic rock
heavy
radio.
Rotation. I've seen all good people turn
their heads each day so Tyler's 32. But I'm
32. I know this song. I just know it's about chess.
He should know this, Tyler.
Yeah. I'm looking at the lyrics right here. Yeah, it talks about time.
Well,
time
hold on.
Time
let's listen to it.
Don't spoil it.
Tell us what it means.
All right. Take a straight and stronger
course to the corner of your life. That's a chess move. Make the white queen run so fast. She hasn't got time to make you a
wife. Yep, sounds like it's talking about a rook in the corner of the board that moves straight.
It'd be nice if we could hear it.
All right, hold on, Tyler. Just listen.
Hold on. Let it play out.
We're not sure yet. Three's out.
Let's talk about queens and black squares.
Let's turn it down a little. So, Tyler, you have the lyrics in front of you?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Does all that stuff make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like it's talking about it's personifying different chess pieces and then moving them to, move me to any black square. So that seems like it's talking about the bishop because there's a bishop that only moves on the black square and a bishop that only moves on the white square.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tyler, why don't you know this song? Why? It's right up there with when we edited The Hammer and we're sitting with the Foley guy and he'd never seen Modern Romance. Was it Modern? Yeah, Modern, the Albert Brooks movie where he played a Foley guy. It was the only movie that's ever had a guy, and it's in his business. It's not like he's a long-haul trucker. He's a movie guy, and it's a movie about someone who does his profession. I don't blame him. Where's everybody?
Where's the community?
Doesn't somebody go like, it was me and Kevin Hench going, oh, you've seen this movie. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, it's all you do is hang out with these guys.
Yep. If you're a pinball champion and haven't heard the Who's Squeeze Box, then what the hell's wrong with... No, of course, right. Pinball Wizard. Yeah.
Pinball
what the hell's
Wizard.
Wrong with on you?
I feel like Tyler can make it up to you by the next time he has a match, he walks out to this.
To this.
Yeah. Even if nobody's walking out to anything.
Tyler?
Yeah, I think you might be slightly underestimating the time that chess players put into just playing chess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who knows less about other things? I'll tell you that the top of my chart, surfers. Amongst the dumbest human beings on the fucking planet.
But like,
people have never heard, like, literally, you could bring up the last 30 Heisman Trophy winners, and they've never heard of one of them, the current events. Like, I couldn't name the vice president. Like, they're the dumbest And all they know is surfing.
I'll say geniuses when it comes to anything tangentially related to surfing.
Yeah, except for nothing is tangential. Dr. Zog's sex wax and its application.
Yep.
So, Tyler?
Yeah.
I would think that chess people, while they're consumed with chess, because that's such a heady endeavor, would know something about the rest of the world. Because they're at least their intellects.
Mm. You're curious.
See, now... I think also when you're playing chess, you want music that kind of like when you take your walks and you like to listen to classical music,
when we play chess, we listen to music for that.
This is classical turnip, Dawson.
Classical music or jazz music.
But in you're a chess champion, right?
I'm a chess commentator.
Oh, commentator. That's right. But you have to know chess backwards and forwards.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
You're that nerd.
You hang around with large groups of people who play chess. This has never come up.
Well, chess players don't talk about music. We talk about chess.
But this is chess.
This is chess music.
There's a Broadway musical called Chess.
Hold on a second. I'm angry. Every time I bring this up to anything to anybody who doesn't know anything, they're always like, you know, the worst is like, you know, you try to pick a, trying to think of a very, very common commercial. You go, you know that commercial for the general, the insurance guy, the stupid little animated guy? And they'll go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I go, they run it all. They run all the sporting events. And then they go, sorry, I have a life. I'm outdoors.
No,
I live my life. I love my children. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not a power bottom. I'm sorry. I don't sit at home and stare at the TV all day and drool. Like they always
aware of what's on.
They do that, and it's like I know you guys talk about chess, but music. Everybody has like I have car guys. Mm-hmm. We talk about cars, but we also are aware that there's music. Those guys,
music about cars.
Yeah.
Those guys might be a little hipper to some of those Beach Boys songs, especially, mm-hmm. but. And we don't, I don't know any group that talks music. Human beings talk music. It's not like, well, this group talks music. That group doesn't talk music. It's a poor excuse. Tyler?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right.
You're that nerd.
When one guy checkmates the other, can you yell Fusenglasia? Fusenglasia?
Yeah, I can do that to make up for my lack of classic rock.
That's a start.
And can you start doing kind of a rough poll of guys who are on the circuit who know about this Yes song?
I can ask the top grandmaster, oh, do you want me to do just American or do you want me to go international with the survey here?
You might be surprised if he goes international.
International. And
start
by the way,
the Grand Wizard.
I think
Grandmaster.
Yes is English? Fusenglasia! You need to yell that, Tyler. And yes is English. So they are international.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There you go. Very European. Tyler?
One of the kind of disappointing parts of chess to a lot of people is, especially in professional level chess, there hasn't been a checkmate in a world chess champion since 1926. One person just says, I can see seven moves ahead. I see that I'm dead. So right. I'm just going to resign and shake hands. So there's.
So getting checkmated is kind of like a, you know.
The white whale.
Yeah, I say getting checkmated is kind of a move you would do everything to avoid. Like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
You don't want to give the person the satisfaction when there's two people in the room who know well in advance that you're going to get checkmated. That's the guy doing it to you and you. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on TV or you're in the peanut gallery, you're probably not seven moves ahead. Maybe you're three moves ahead. Or two moves ahead.
Yeah.
But that guy sitting across knows.
They know.
Do they televise it?
They're at the finals for a reason.
On the internet, I imagine. Okay. Tyler?
Yeah.
I would argue, you know, what if we took this same sort of math and just extrapolated it to the UFC? Like, well, the guy knew he was going to get choked out eventually, yep. So he just sort of quit when they were bowing at the beginning of the match. We want to see somebody get checkmated. We want to see a guy get choked out. We want to see him get knocked out. Like, we want a definitive ending. I would float the idea of, look, everyone's going to have to put their ego aside. Just like when the guys get in the octagon, they know they can get choked out. There ain't no quitting before that. Mm-hmm. The moves must play out until they're checkmated.
We're going to the death.
Could you do that, Tyler?
Actually, I would bring that right back at you and say, if you tap out in the UFC, it's the exact same thing as giving up in a chess game. I would say the end is inevitable. I'm literally about to
pass
out. So I'm giving up.
We can keep going with this until I'm unconscious, or we can tap out now while I can still move.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. First off, they're in the same position physically that they're going to be in 2 seconds when the person goes unconscious. Now, first off, some people don't tap. They just go unconscious. Mm-hmm. It's probably 10%, maybe 15% just literally lose consciousness. The guys are so tough, they don't care. They'd rather just go out than tap out.
Question, because I don't know the answer. Is the same for submission holds, like when someone's about to break your arm or your leg?
Yeah, some guys just let them break their arm. So there's that. But also, as a viewer, the difference between the guy passing out and the difference between a guy tapping out is almost nothing. As a matter of fact, it's the same. He's about to pass out, and you see him tap.
He's defeated.
He's been submitted that way. So we're seeing it, and it's true. It philosophically, it's sort of the same, but it happens in milliseconds, right, and it's very satisfying. The seven moves ahead and the person quitting before the guy gets near the point where we can intellectually, even if we understand the game, understand that he's going to be checkmated is not satisfying.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the viewers.
No, you're absolutely viewer. Right. The viewer. It's like a waiter. You can't fire me. I quit. Okay, yeah. Well, bye.
Yeah. I wanted to fire you.
Yeah, I wanted to fire better, you too.
Tyler, can you suggest that for the next tournament?
So mandatory play two checkmate.
Yes.
With Bruzen Glajan being played over the speakers as it's happening.
No, you're the commentator. You have to say Frusen Glajan.
You're the one.
Frusen Glajan is what you have to yell, and you're not. But I'm being very serious about the mandatory play it to the checkmate where they knock the queen or the king or whether they knock it over. Yeah. Like, I'd like to see that if I was watching.
Yeah.
And as far as everyone who enters the tournament, those are the rules. Look, you're gonna lose or you're gonna win, but here's how you're gonna lose. If you think you can win, come on down. You'll do it to the other guy.
Yeah, and maybe if the guy who wins knocks the piece over, the other guy gets to flip the table. Mm-hmm. So everybody gets something.
I agree. Tyler, float it. It's not an insane thought. It's for the folks who want to watch it and want to see the moves. You're missing out on the last seven important moves that the guy has in his head, the other guy has in his head, but you, the casual viewer, is not able to extrapolate it.
You could add another viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Bowl plays with chess moves.
That's kind of my job, is when that happens and a player resigns, is to say, okay, well, here are the forcing moves that certainly would have happened.
All right, the phones. I get it. But also, if one guy's a master and you're a commentator, do you know the next seven moves per se? I just let it play out. I mean, it's like, look, all right, in football, I've seen plenty of Super Bowls when the Patriots in their first Super Bowl just got crushed. And, but they didn't get to leave midway into the fourth quarter. Right, yeah. Like they just had to play to the end.
And this is where you get the Miracle in the Meadowlands, and this is where you get Billy Buckner. You know what I mean? This is where you get those crazy plays that you think the game's over. The game is over, and all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah, he would say these guys are smart enough to know mathematically
what
when it's
done. What if they
joke? I don't know.
Let's find out.
Let's find out. All right, Adam Ray is here. Let's get him ready. I will tell you about LifeLock. FBI says over 1 billion lost to internet scams in 2015. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not be able to detect just by sitting around and monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Let's not let that happen. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let's take care of this, people. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best. I have it. The kids have it. The wife has it. Everybody in the Corolla house has it. It is the industry standard. It is the best. It's LifeLock. And by the way, with all the shopping you're doing online, your information out there, it's just like $9.99 a month. Come on now. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
Act now and get the added protection of Norton Security for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount for the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's Adam15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right, the great Adam Ray in studio right after this.
Hi, I'm Tavis Smiley. You may know me from my PBS talk show. I'm excited to tell you that I have a brand new podcast that you can hear on podcast1.com starting this July. I'll discuss the latest in politics, sports, music, and much more with big thinkers, artists, and celebrities. I'll also share my own opinions and answer some of your questions. So join the conversation this July on the Tavis Smiley podcast, coming to podcast1.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Thanks for making the podcast. I held my drive go smooth. We all wrote rage.
Loud and clear, buddy. Loud and clear. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
He's been in this country for 30 years.
Not possible.
His English is improving a lot.
I couldn't even tell he wasn't from here.
Oh, no, he's...
That
he's
guy's from not Nicaragua. From Irvine?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a, it's no. A regional
he's
dialogue.
Been to Irvine. So, yeah. But he's not from Irvine. Okay. It's Hale. He you know what I miss from? Hail by way of.
Yeah. Mm. Who says that anymore?
I just missed the by way of. Like by way the of. Fighters. Yeah. They bring the guy in. He was the fight.
Yeah.
He was the fighting pride of Latuna or Altoona yeah.
right.
or wherever, or Pennsylvania or something. Mm. But he now fights by way of Carson City, Nevada.
Does that mean like you stopped there?
I don't know. I just, it Wait, was
what does
real.
That mean? Yeah. But yeah, you came through. You had a, you
it was by,
chick there.
It was, you were born in Altoona. Uh-huh. You now live in Carson City and fight out of Carson City. Okay. I think that's the by way of.
Okay.
They well, don't do it anymore.
No,
this like they don't say, oh, yeah, this guy's car was totaled to the tune of $18,000. Like, to the tune.
To the tune of.
Yeah.
It's, that was like a, charming.
Yeah. It softened like, the blow a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why. If they said the car was totaled, it cost $18,000. I don't understand that. 18,000
yeah.
to the tune of oh,
thank you.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, put it in musical terms for me, and I can really get a sense of it.
Adam Ray has a yeah. Gary, figure out by way of. It's good for countries too if you can hop over a full
oh, yeah.
into a new country
and transportation. We'll get there by way of car.
Yeah, although not as fun as
no, that's true.
It's light rail. Adam
or
Ray
hot air balloon.
And Buddy show that is next Tuesday. That's at the Comedy Store. David Spade, Chris D'Elia, Liza Schlesinger, Theo Von, all folks have been in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, baby.
Very funny.
You've been doing this for a while, right?
Yeah, so I started, you know, it's got to a point where, you know, I started working at the Comedy Store. That was like the first place I did stand up when I got to L.A., just doing open mics and bringer shows. And then I was working the phones for like 3 years. And so it definitely is like my home club. And I just got to a point where it's like you're in the game enough and you know are friends with enough people. And when you can ask Dana Carvey and Spade and D'Elia and Dion Cole and just all these people be like, hey, you want to come do the show? And they all are like, yeah. So and it's also like the Comedy Store is just so great right now. And that main room is so iconic. And so we do it there and we always pack it out. And it's awesome. It's just great to be able to put on a good show like that with so many great people.
I was thinking that was it, the thing that's cool about comedy. It's the kind of thing that, and I don't know many jobs that work this way, but because like roofer doesn't work this way, which is David Spade or Chris D'Elia or many of these guys, Dana Carvey or something, Adam Wright to a probably a lesser degree than Dana Carvey.
Sure.
But you go out and do
although Dana can't do a Tony Danza or a Dr. Phil, so I will take pride in that.
He goes out, what I'm saying is does a corporate gig.
Yeah.
He could get $100,000.
Yeah, easily.
Easily $100,000. Or Adam could say, would you like to do almost the same thing for free? And he'd go, yeah, okay. And I'm thinking, roofer doesn't work that way. It's not like, well, I put on a square of asphalt shingles and I got $1 million. And then the next week, I just did some roofing just because.
I did a
passion project.
Yeah. You just pretty much get the same amount for every roof all the time and no freebies. And comedy's a weird, like, you know, Jay Leno could get $250,000 for a corporate thing, or he could be at Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club
for $100
yeah. or nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Are all these guys your actual buddies?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's very false.
I mean, Spade I knew loosely, but enough for him to ask him to do it. But most all of them are, yeah, like actual. I mean, it's also like it'll be 10 years in the fall, and it's like I've just been around enough and hung out enough and just. I feel like if you're, you know, you work hard and you're not a piece of shit, you can develop
that's what I'm doing wrong,
friendships with a lot of peeps. But you know, there's also some people like I would love to get Ron White on one of them, and so I don't have any actual
tater salad.
Yeah,
you want his number?
I hit him up on MySpace. He still has not responded. Looking to match with him on Tinder, but
can I
Twitter?
Can I float this about Ron White?
Yeah,
blue collar comedy guys and all that. I don't think they're bad guys.
Sure.
But I don't think they're feeling it like they get paid to do comedy.
Yeah.
They get paid a lot of money to do comedy. And I think the notion of jamming doesn't sound great to them. Like, I feel like Ben Folds gets paid to play the piano, but he would also come up and jam with you in some little club or something and have fun.
Yeah.
And then there are other guys who just do gigs and need to get paid. They don't love the art form of just going up and jamming, you know? And I think, I don't think those guys jam. I think they get paid.
Probably right. Yeah. I mean, that brand of it was a blue collar comedy tour, right? That they would do. It seemed like it was just a machine where it was just like, go to every city where barbecue is literally just like doused on the floors. Right. And there is just like every gal is pushing four bills, you know?
And it's insane because they're literally like flying privately to play the Megadome in the middle of the thing, and everything starts off like, well, my tractor broke down, so I had to shoot my hunting dog. You know, and it's like,
you feel me? Everyone's like, I do.
You flew in on NetJets,
the blue collar jet.
So, but I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I don't think you're going to get those guys who want to just go jam.
Unfortunately, not. Yeah,
yeah.
Foxworthy would be. Does he even do stand up still? Probably right.
A guy
like that probably just cashed in his chips, right? Now he's just
hosts.
I host things. Last time I saw him was Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yeah.
And no.
He could have had a Steve Harvey career, I feel like. If he had hosted one Miss America pageant, which would have been great. Like, they need to start thinking in terms of that. Like, Steve Harvey is so cool. Like, these pageants, I know they want, like, the really smooth guy to do it, like a Mario Lopez or a Steve Harvey, but, like, Foxworthy up there with that twang, be like, this next girl from the Dominican Republic likes to spin the baton.
He's a nice guy. I wonder.
They call it a boo-boo swell.
I wonder if he even wants his mustache.
Oh, like it's
if he has a choice.
Like he's kind of spindly. Yeah. He doesn't really look the blue collar part. I think the stash
is what got him in the club.
Yeah, like every once in a while, you'll see the cop with the stash who looks very uncoppy. Yeah. The only thing copy about him is the stash. But you figure if that guy was an accountant, he wouldn't have the stash. He's got the cop sunglasses and the stash just to sort of pass himself off as a cop.
It's like Gallagher pulling you aside. I don't even like this mallet.
Favorite fruit.
Do you think that's how the sergeant describes the unsettling wardrobe to the other cops? Like, Johnson, you're looking very uncopy today.
Yeah.
I don't know what you need to change. Maybe a badge, bigger pants, but you're very uncopy.
Yeah, there's a big sign in the locker room that says cop an attitude, which is that guy's own, the CO's commanding officer for dress copy.
Right. Do you look copy?
I was thinking, Jimmy and I wrote a movie called Kill Gallagher. I haven't talked about it.
Yikes. Does Gallagher know this?
In a kajillion years. Yeah, I think we did tell him about it. And it's this.
It's more of a tribute.
Yeah, it was nice of you.
Yeah.
It was.
The fruit fights back.
It was a.
From the point of view of the watermelons.
Oh my God, what a great documentary. Yeah.
It was.
Sausage Party should have been.
Yeah. It was based on the band Dishwalla.
Great band.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't they have the song Something About God, right?
Yeah.
Tell me all your thoughts on God.
Yeah.
Look at you. Wow.
Because he wants to meet her.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I really want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to write with him. Like, because, her. Okay. But we say white her, right?
Yeah.
No, just her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but cock. Oh, okay. Yeah, that doesn't rhyme. But white her.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. This is good.
Yeah.
I want to meet her.
Yeah.
And touch her blonde, straight
of
hair.
Of course. Yeah.
Super straight blonde hair. Yeah.
Look at those guys.
Yeah.
Dishwalla.
Really four different JCPenney models right there. Five.
Your mom had a mobile, Dishwalla.
That's right. So Dishwalla came on Loveline, and I said, where'd you get the name Dishwalla? Does everyone remember this one?
Mm-hmm. The song?
No.
The story.
No, I know you remember the song. The story.
Nope.
Dishwalla is what the little impoverished villagers called the guy who sets up the radar dish, the satellite dish.
Wow.
In the village so they could have their TV.
Well, because like in Slumdog Millionaire, the chai peddlers are the chai wallas. So that's the walla, apparently.
Oh. Yeah. So you come in, and the most impoverished areas you can think of, walla, right? And you put the dishwalla, the guy sets up the dish. Oh, her.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't say it.
By the way, I don't know too much about lovemaking in the 90s because I lost my V card post in the 2000s. But I feel like that when that song popped, that would be like a song that dudes in the 90s were like, this is going to be the one. because it does have like kind of an intense.
Sexy driving. Sexy,
yeah, like it definitely sounds like you want a climax to like when they get to the chorus.
And again,
this is speaking
to me, her is gone.
Yeah. Let me speak for everyone.
Yeah, okay, so they said the dishwalla, and then they set up the dish, and I said, God, and they watch like reruns of like Dynasty and Falcon Crest with like gowns with jewels by way of Freddie Blassie.
Bill Blass. Bill Blass.
Bill Blass. Sorry.
Freddie Blassie.
That's a wrestler. Yep. Bill Blass.
It is.
Classy, but yeah, I got a wrestler and a gown designer.
Bill Blass.
Up.
Gloria Blass. Vanderbilt, the whole thing.
Yeah, and they're coming down the stairs, yeah. You know.
Gloria's on the top rope.
Jumping into the swimming pool and stuff. And these people in these poor, impoverished villages have to watch all these commercials, all these for food and Pizza Hut with stuffed crust, whatever. And Drew, in a rare moment of levity, said, could you imagine watching a Gallagher concert? And I was like, the fields have been barren for years, the drought, the famine, and here's holding up a giant watermelon, like a 28-pound watermelon above his head.
Feed the family for days.
Yeah, for years.
Right, and boom, the sledge comes, dozen eggs.
All the seeds, get the seeds.
They would react like if you were in the audience at The Price is Right and your friend got the guessed the wrong price. Everyone just, no! Why would you?
So in Kill Gallagher, they get the dishwalla, hooks up the satellite dish, and they all end up in like the elder's hut, and they're watching, and they're flipping around, and when they flip around, you know, from C-SPAN or 60 Minutes or whatever, but they get to a Gallagher concert, and he's jumping up and down on his giant bed. That's his thing. It's a giant rolling bed.
He didn't do the mallet until the end. He did like a comedy routine.
That was his closer.
That was the big crescendo.
Right. Yeah. So he's jumping up and down on the giant bed, and they're all laughing. Like, look at him. He's jumping up and down. They don't understand, but they're laughing.
Fun.
And then at a certain point, he pulls out the giant watermelon, and they're all like,
Is he going to share?
Yes, he's going to share.
Now he's going to feed the audience.
When he smashes all the stuff, they're outraged.
Yeah.
They're violent. They're insane. And the elders decide.
There's a slow motion montage of the crowd enjoying it, and they're all like horrified back to the villagers.
In their rain slickers. Yeah.
They decide that this infidel is the cause for all their bad luck and their drought and their famine and the reason they haven't had rain in 6 years.
It's like a God's Us Be Crazy kind of thing.
Yeah, he needs to be taken down.
Yep.
He needs to be taken down. And what they do is they get the one, you know, young man, the fuck up. It's kind of, you know, it's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the one screw up kid.
The outlier.
And they decide that night to load him up with whatever belongings they have, whatever things of value he can sell or whatever. And they just send him to Vegas to go kill Gallagher.
It's a real fish out of water story at that point.
Of course. He lands, of course, he gets to Vegas and sees like buffets and stuff and, you know, starts going insane.
Advertisements, you know, for strippers and stuff like that.
Yeah. He ends up finding love. There's a B story. The B story is while these guys are in their village watching Gallagher's Comedy Central special, you know, half a world away, there are a couple of fuck up teenage guys in like Michigan who are watching this. And, you know, it's like live from the strip in Las Vegas. And the two guys in Michigan, I don't know if you ran into this, Adam, Brian, you guys tell me. Remember at some point in your life when you hadn't been laid and one of your friends had been laid?
Jesse Mose, 7th grade.
Right. And he was
This kid, yeah.
He became like really Dr. Ruth and John Holmes.
Oh,
like
my together. God.
Like he was an expert. Like he knew everything.
Oh, he told you everything. He's like, fist. You're like, what? Okay. I guess,
It was like Fast Times at Ridgemont High when he's like, hey, rat, you got to do it this way.
You have a lot of, let me tell you.
He becomes the king and the guy who just you go to for all your questions.
Oh, sure. About anything, not just sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, even though
balance your checkbook,
homework.
Yeah, he could be a semi-retarded 8th grader or a super slow 10th grader, whatever it is. But he was the guy who got laid before you did, so thus he was Mr. Owl.
He
had all the information. He knew everything, and you had to listen to him about everything.
He had the Netflix and Pornhub passwords before they were even in websites.
That's right.
Yeah.
He knew everything. So this is like that, especially if he was like 2 years older.
That helps.
So this is the one fat, bucket-headed kid who's like 19 and has never been laid, and his 21-year-old mentor buddy who had been laid a couple of times explained to him, you got to get laid. It's going to change your life. They're watching the same Gallagher concert, and it's from Las Vegas. And after that, they go to a commercial for Make-A-Wish. And they realize that if they can fill out the paperwork and convince them that the kid who never got laid, his dying wish is to meet Gallagher and to go to Vegas and go backstage and say, and to meet Gallagher, they can get laid in Vegas. Okay. They have
this is chicken, great.
They have chicken ranches there. You know, but it's like when I was a kid, I'd hear about the ranches. I didn't know they were outside, yeah. not on the strip.
You think they're inside the casino.
I thought they were in the yeah. casino. Yeah.
It's attached to the Dave and Buster's.
Right. That's right.
So
it's under the pirate ship.
They just think this guy's never going to get laid in their little town in Michigan. But if they can cobble together $100, they can get and make a wish will get them to the heart of the strip. Yep. Then they don't even want to see the Gallagher show. They just saying they like get their dying wishes to see Gallagher to get to Vegas to get laid. So obviously these two groups, the guy on one side of the world and the guy by way of Flint, Michigan, are heading to Vegas at the same time. Well, of course, the guy has no real interest in seeing Gallagher. He wants to get laid, but at some point, of course, Gallagher's insanely flattered that somebody from the Make-A-Wish Foundation went.
So I feel like, and Make-A-Wish wants to do that. I feel like they love a challenge. Like that seems like something they would, they're like, oh, you don't think we would make that? We can't make that happen? Like, we're going to, even if it's insane as that scenario.
Well, that's a pretty light lifting for them. Just contact the Gallagher camp, contact an airline.
But usually it's like, do you want to meet Bonnie Hunt? But like, this is, which is easier to do, I feel like.
You want to meet Ms. Romano before you die? So
you don't meet the fourth lead from Jerry Maguire?
Of course, he's up on stage now with Gallagher with his arm around him. And guy, the spindly guy from Dishwalla Land, is arm shaking as he pulls the pistol out. You can guess which one gets shot. I thought it was a great story. Like, I love this idea.
I love it.
I can't even remember how much of it we wrote. We wrote a lot of it.
Was it ever discussed on when Gallagher decided to close with the Melon Smash? Because, like, I feel like that's another story. It could be like, he's opening with that, and somebody's like, yo, Gallagher, I really think, like, you should close with that.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting
The show drags a little bit.
You're really coming out, like, hot and heavy.
And then his manager says something that's, like, never been said, but managers say things, like, it's just common practice. Look, listen, Gally. All gourd-based humor comes at the end. Everyone knows the gourd-based stuff. You're doing pumpkins, you're doing squash. You're doing...
Who says that?
Yeah.
It's gourd-based.
I haven't heard a lot of gourd-based.
Ask around. Ask any of the greats. The old school guys.
Henny Youngman?
Hey, any guy named Buddy, Henny, they'll tell you. If it's gourd-based...
Skelton?
Well, they didn't do a lot of gourd-based humor, but when they did... They closed with it.
All right. They know. They're the greats.
Yeah. Have you heard of the guy who opened with the cantaloupe smash?
No.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Who is that guy? Well, I know where he is now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
by the way, Dishwalla, like, again, like a song that I would have made love to, but like, and I don't know what your guys' song was the first time, but I feel like there was that Now That's What I Call Music series.
Oh, yeah.
How come they never parlayed that into Now That's What I Call like Fuck Music 26, like make another collection of hits. Like, I mean, I get, cause some of those were basically like, you know, the best songs from the 90s to drive to in the summer. But like, if they had really gotten specific, I think they could have sold more discs.
They would have the little section in the That's What I Call Music or whatever, like the 15 CD set or whatever. Yeah. And they'd have the one where, it was always that, the vignette was the same. It was the couple with the fireplace and sort of the ski chalet, and they'd kind of come together in front of the fire, and they have Lou Rawls, like Lou Rawls would come bleeding in at that point. That would be their vignette for the making love. But they never specifically just carved out all just humping music.
Yeah, they should. I mean, like, mine would be Huey Lewis, If This Is It. Bare Naked Ladies, It's All Been Done. The Saved by the Bell College Years theme song.
Adam, I get the sense you're kidding, but If This Is It is my favorite Huey Lewis song.
It's my favorite Huey Lewis song.
Up top.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Find
we'll make love in a NyQuil dream.
Find retro rock and rock for Adam. Yes. I think he's gonna.
And then find the Saved by the Bell College Years theme song. I think it was like
that.
I'm standing at the edge of tomorrow. Mike Golick was in that.
Mike Golick?
Yeah.
The football player.
Yeah.
He played
the
Philadelphia.
The RA
Cool.
Yeah. Oh no. No. Oh, yeah, his brother.
Steve Bob. Golic? Bob Golic.
Bob's the brother, and Mike was the other brother.
Mike is on Mike and Mike. That's right.
Bob Golic.
Yeah.
Right? Is that it? Yeah.
By the way, that's a great game show. Which Golic are you talking about?
Yeah, and the dad in Webster was
Alex Karras.
Alex Karras, yeah. Yep. Famous.
George Papadopoulos.
Great name.
Famous, yeah. Great offensive interior lineman.
Defensive lineman for the Cardinals, right?
Lions.
Oh.
No, you're Deerdorf.
Oh,
you're a Deerdorf. Right. You're a Deerdorf guy.
Yep. Right.
They really paved the way for athletes being in sitcoms.
Yeah. They're their early interior lineman pioneers of sitcoms.
Bob Uecker and there was one
Mr. Belvedere.
That's right.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Uecker was in Mr. Belvedere?
Oh, the guy from the
Dreyer, Fred Dreyer.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Reggie White was the voice of Alf. A lot of people don't know that.
No. Yep. The Minister of Defense.
Yeah.
All right. You can watch the Man Show Retro Rock and Rock, which is a compilation, sort of like what you said.
Music today. I just don't get it. Hey, I'm Adam Carolla. You know, in my day, rock and roll wasn't about boy bands or this robot crap.
Love that best.
Our songs were about drinking and brawling and rambling. You're not going to find these lost treasures on the radio, but you will find them here. Pure retro rock and rock. 20 songs that rock so hard, you'll think you died and went to hell. Songs about whiskey. Whiskey girl. Whiskey Mountain. I don't care what my woman thinks. I'm drunk. I'm whiskey. And songs about hard living, hard loving women. Devil lady. She'll pick you up in her truck and she'll drag you to hell. Whiskey drinking gypsy devil Cajun queen from New Orleans. And whatever happened to rambling.
Obama was a truck driving man. I forgot about that one.
Cajun whiskey rambling devil queen from New Orleans. Pure retro rock and rock. It's a 10. On the Rocker scale.
Pure retro rock and rock. Be yours from the low, low price of $19.99 for CD, $12.99 for cassette. So order now.
Pure retro rock and rock. Because life's too short not to live in the past.
All right.
Please tell me you came up with Sour Mash Highway.
Jeez.
My favorite one. I
remember when it was one of the funnest times I ever had was sitting around and just writing fake songs. Adam does a lot of that. He's good at it. Not this Adam. Adam Wright, but it's fun. It's fun coming up with stupid.
You often refer yourself in third person, so you understand the confusion.
Titles, yeah.
How many of those vests did you have already set and locked ready to go in your closet at home?
The leather vest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, you ever see the ass gasket seat liner things?
Oh, yeah.
I had one of those in my bathroom. Just whip a vest out, pull it on. If I spilled some ketchup or something, I'd go wreck them, just whip another one out.
You have to. You get to a certain point in your career where you have to have just a bunch of those.
A leather vest.
Yeah.
The whole thing was built around the vest. That was what it
started. Yeah.
The live dates, Adam, beside, we know Tuesday, July 18th at the Comedy Store with all those big names, but that thing's got to sell. Are you touring around?
Yeah, so all of August, then I'll pretty much hit the road for, I'm doing Denver Comedy Works and Cap City in Austin and Zanies in Chicago, and then some single headline dates at the Hollywood Improv, Irvine Improv, Ontario Improv, but all those are at AdamRayTV.com, and
I am pumped about the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Me too.
Which I always use that show as an example when a lot of other shows, I'll be an equal opportunity critiquer here, but I feel like Girls just sort of turns into a serious show at a certain point. Like people have a real, it's not even a comedy anymore. And Lucky Louie or the Louis C.K. show just is funny, but it doesn't have an arc or an ending or anything. And I know they're the king and queen of comedy, but the stuff just kind of
gets dark,
goes and just like doesn't really, it doesn't come back and come home or land or anything. And Curb Your Enthusiasm, I always use an example of that's how you structure it. You have something happen in Act 1, then in Act 2, there's more confusion, then Act 3 comes full circle,
yep.
And we all laugh. And I love that show just because of how it stays true to itself. But it, you know, what was it, 3 years between?
No, I think, I think it was 7 or 8.
Since we've seen the last?
Yeah. Wow. It's been a minute. I'm at least 5, I know for sure. And I mean, it's my favorite show of all time. And so to get to be in an episode was like, you know, the just even audition for it was crazy with Larry. And like to make him laugh, I went in twice and it was like, you know, I would chalk that up as like, okay, cool. That was kind of like a bucket list item thing to even, I mean, during the audition, it felt like at one point I felt like I was listening to an episode because.
It's been 8 years. Yeah, 2011.
What the hell? So, huh? Yeah, so people are freaking out.
I'm sorry.
Oh, 6 years, sorry.
That season was season 8. I was a confusing note.
Oh, screwed up. Yeah, no, it's all right.
I was never a big, I love Seinfeld, but like Curb to me was just, I don't know, something about it was just, maybe the single camera aspect,
yeah,
and it was
they
more,
just, they
you know,
could let it breathe.
Yeah.
And I agree.
But it was just, they were just tackling the way things came together, mm-hmm. You know, obviously very still Seinfeld-esque, but like, I just thought, I also, something about watching Larry at the helm is just like, was so out of nowhere.
How much of it, we've talked to many people who have been involved with it.
Yeah.
Like, what does the script look like?
I mean, a couple bullet points. Like, even for the audition, it was like a couple things, like saying, this is going to happen. At some point, he's going to say this, and you say this.
Isn't it so much better, especially when you're dealing with people like yourself and everyone involved, by
sure.
The time they get to that point in their career, like versus highlight, try
yeah.
to memorize, oh.
spit it back out.
Get up there and be up in your head about yeah. hitting yeah. the right whatever versus just reacting.
Totally. And there's still what really blew me away was how just pro Larry is. Like, he's so involved on every take, on every line, and he's like very loose. Like, he breaks a lot because there's a lot of funny people that he surrounds himself with. But watching him just really dissect every moment and be, even like during, you know, the handful of takes we were doing, he'd be like, all right, like, I really, like, that was really good. Like, maybe let's, like, you know, somebody can say something, like, maybe go on that, like, explore that, you know,
right.
But wouldn't say, like, say this, you know, so it wouldn't give you, and then, you know, the producers and director would come in and be like, maybe, like, you know, mention this at some point or whatever, but still keeping it very, giving you a very loose map so that, like, the conversation could be organic, which I think is why, and then you just kind of trust yourself to, like, that you're gonna be funny and like real enough and find those moments that, like, even Allison Jones, who cast it when I was going in, she was like, don't try to be funny. And I was still like, all right, well, you gotta be cognizant of like the scenario and heightening everything and the way that most Curb scenes end up evolving to. But like, yeah, if you just play the moment real, like, and then trust, like, oh yeah, you're gonna come up with something funny. And what I found in the audition is I would, like, instead of kind of trying to say something funny, if as soon as Larry said one thing that sounded like something I could, like, you know, drive, like, taking the wheel and kind of drive a little bit and really kind of flesh out, then that's what I would do. And then he responded to that. And but he's a pro, man. Just, and he's so involved. I thought he would just kind of, you know, he's there, and he was there for every audition, and, like, you know, which is why the show's so great. He's so,
well, yeah, it's got it. It has to be all him. Otherwise it just won't work.
Yeah.
Start farming it out. And also, but look, I'm a car guy. Carroll Shelby had a small shop in Venice, California, and he built his cars in Venice, California. And at a certain point, Ford in Dearborn just bought them out and started mass producing Shelby, not the Cobras, but the Mustangs. And of course, when you see the ones that the man got hold of and started pumping out, it's not nearly what the ones that were hand-built in this little shop with these crazy artisan car right. guys. It can't. It's not Ford's fault.
Yeah.
It can't be the same product when it goes big and a bunch of other people get involved, and then the bean counters and the pencil pushers. Would you rather be a bean counter or a pencil pusher?
Well, I bean counted in the first and second grade. That's how I learned how to count. So
It's just
some nostalgia factor there. Mrs. Batelli, shout out. I think she's still alive. She was fucking, she was a bean Nazi. She was like, which, is that a real thing? Is that, did I just coin that term?
Yeah.
A bean Nazi? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you would want to work for the Census Bureau tallying Hispanics?
I don't want to be the one.
Or am I misinterpreting that?
I think you're...
I don't know. I've just heard it my whole life.
You're
but
crafting
I just
your own preconceived.
Well, how else do we find out how many Mexicans are
help
in
us out
Southern
here.
California?
It can be any kind of bean.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just one kind of bean.
So I wonder if Gallagher ever started with beans. Like, uncooked! legumes. And his manager, yeah, like, no, once again, dude, once again.
Read the room, Gallagher. No one's responding.
Send them all over the theater.
So can you tell us anything about the character, or like,
I mean,
more than one episode? What, when can we look forward to you starting?
Well, I think I don't even know. I was told I can say that I'm in it, but not to reveal storyline, or I can say that like the season itself is everything you want it to be and more. The people involved are, I mean, just, you know, when I went to the rap party and saw like, hey, they put together like a blooper reel of all the episodes that I, you know, it's just, it, everything is just up a notch. I mean, it's just like, and it's just as brilliant as you would have hoped. And the people involved, I mean, some of the people they got, I was just like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Mind blowing, you know? And, but also at this point, I feel like it's one of those shows where it's like, you know, the same way kind of Punk'd got to at a certain level, and not to put Curb and Punk'd on the, in the same boat, but, right. You know, Kutcher.
Curb will get there someday.
Kutcher is the modern day. Yeah. Curb will get there someday. Nice. But they, you know, it got to a popularity level where people wanted to be on it, you know. So I feel you're like right. People were definitely probably reaching out. I will say this. Dikembe Mutombo is not in it.
Oh.
I can say that.
Oh, we got a song from Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've, you know, dropped an original here at the Corolla show.
Do we need any setup or should
we do. We do. Go so look, it. It's... Yeah, I was talking, having a conversation with one of my buddies. We're talking, he had been cheated on by his fiance, right? So that ended that. And that was, you know, a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. How did he find out?
Walked in.
Oh, wow. God. Wow,
old school.
Way, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to write a song.
Old school.
I'm going to write a song called Don't Ever Come Home From Work Early. Because every single, whether it's finding your kids dead or walking in on your wife getting boned,
dude, yeah.
It's always like, it always, all those date lines and stuff, it's like, I left work early, and when I came home, like, nothing good.
No.
Nothing. It was a surprise party for me.
You said 5, make it 5:05, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Be
never
a little
come
late,
home early.
Miss the
never.
Disaster, you know?
I knock in my own house. I show up 10 minutes late from work, and I'm like, everybody dressed in there?
Yeah, so do I, and I live by myself.
Yeah.
And so he...
It's
yeah.
window hopping through in time, if anyone's in there.
It's window hopping time.
That's time an old school move. Time out the window.
Yeah, I saw your clothes out
an
the window.
El Camino with Kragers on parked out in a chain steering wheel out front. I'm sure that's the gardener, so yeah, he may want to go about
okay,
now.
Okay, reaching for my keys.
There's a Sbarro truck and a dildo truck right behind it. Something tells me we didn't order one or both. It got us on the topic of getting cheated on. And I was like, man, the first time I got cheated on was in the 8th grade when a girl I was dating just basically showed up to school with a buddy of mine who, and this guy was like, kind of like we were talking about, like the kind of the king had like said he had had sex in the 4th grade, told us his dad invented Little Caesars, oh, wow. Which again, as a kid, you have no frame of reference.
Sure.
So right. You're just like, you're like, whoa. And he went to the extent of being like, yeah, yeah. So in the slogan, remember how they came up with the slogan pizza, pizza?
Yeah, like, I would say lie, lie.
We're like, yeah, well, how did they come up with it? He's like, well, they were in a room and then they were like, what are we selling? Pizza. And they're like, and what do people love? Pizza, pizza, pizza. And we were like, holy shit, right? And we would never get to go, but so he was just really just full of shit God. Kid. And right. And just had
that came from his dad watching a commercial with him one day. Going, I came up with that. That's
for
me.
Sure.
That's me.
So he, I show up to school and he's walking hand in hand down a hallway with my 8th grade girlfriend. And I just, and he just turns around and just goes, yep, this is happening. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, ooh, man. Power slam. Yeah. Ooh. And then I went to band and played the clarinet. Now, and I quit the clarinet later that year. So that was the first time, but the most recent time that was really like, as an adult, where it was like impactful emotionally was 2008. And it was 3 years after college. I was dating a girl who we met at USC, and then she moved to New York, and then she moved to Reno to be a news reporter. And that's it. And the rest of the story of how it evolved, I guess I can just tell you, she ended up, fucking the cameraman.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Which I kind of knew because it was like, it was Reno, and it was like there weren't a lot of people. There were like weren't a lot of young people. This guy was like the one dude that was like,
and at least
she was 24, he was 30, and I was like, even like when I shook his hand, I was like, oh, you're gonna fuck her,
yeah,
you know.
At least show Adam the dignity of putting the camera down.
Yeah,
POV shot.
A good camera never stops shooting.
Yeah.
So I in talking about it, I was like, I should write a song about something that was like kind of personal like that, but like still have it kind of be sweet. And anyway, there's a music video for it that's half animation, half live action that'll be, I guess we'll be up when this airs, so you can just go to my Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Adam Ray, Reno song. But this is the song.
It was 2008, a year that should have been great. I was in love with the girl I met in school. She had boobs and a heart. I never heard her fart. And one time we had sex in a Gap dressing room. But then she moved to New York to start a new life. And I knew we'd make it work, 'cause I thought that she'd be my wife. Well, she moved again to a place I'd never been. It was kinda like Vegas, but not at all. She moved to Reno, Reno, Nevada. Let's get fucked up. I'm sorry you're here without me. She worked for the news, and when I met her crew, everyone was super nice except for one dude. He wasn't handsome at all. He was goofy and tall. And I knew by the way he shook my hand, he'd definitely fuck her. His name was Jeff. He was her cameraman. And when she told me, I said, did he shoot your stories in your face? Yeah, I know what you meant. Well, sorry, that's how I handle situations like this. I make jokes. Yeah, you always make jokes. That's your thing, isn't it? I'm a comedian. Of course it's my thing. I take tragic moments and try to see the bright side of life because it sucks, okay? How many times was it, by the way? One or two? How many times did it come in your face? One or two times? Yeah, it was like 7 or 12. But that's not one or two! How many times? You don't remember every time somebody come in your face? I would remember that shit. Yeah, of course you would. What the fuck does that mean? You know what? This is a lot to take in. I need to know. Just tell me. I don't want to know, but I need to know. Was it 7 or 12? Yeah, like, I don't remember. There was a lot going on. I was lonely. I was depressed. It was a lot of dicks. A lot of dicks. You said it was one dick. You said it was just Jeff. It was more than one dick. Was it Brian, too? What the fuck is Brian here? What's up, Brian? Was it Brian? Was Brian involved? You know what? This is too much. You're not considering my feelings. Clearly, I'm done. I'm done. Fuck you. And fuck Reno. Reno, Nevada.
That falsetto.
Ooh, look at you.
Real wow. Pain.
That wow. Was great.
I felt it.
Well, so there's a whole, my buddy just sent me the music video that we animated for it, so we missed that, but I'll send it to you guys. Maybe you can post it on the site or something.
We started the show talking about a Yes song that nobody knew mm-hmm. was about Chess, mm-hmm. but I feel like everyone knows what this song is about.
I think so.
Right?
It's been
pretty clear, right?
9 years.
Pretty clear.
You know, I sent it to my mom just to be like, hey, mom, this is a new thing I'm working on. I'm going to premiere on the Kroll show. She goes, oh, God. She goes, do you still talk to Liz? And I go, no, she goes, that was so sad. I go, mom, it's been years. I'm clearly over it. She's over it. She goes, oh, God. Oh, did I tell you Pam died? You know, and then transition into mom stuff.
Sure.
Anyway,
the wounds were fresh.
It's kind of your fault for communicating with your mom, is what I would say.
Well, there's certain things I just need to not send her for, like, yes. She's always like, you never tell me what you like. But, you know, she shares everything on, even my Adam Ray and Buddy show, she'll repost and be like, it's the show everyone's been waiting for. I'm like, nobody asked you for the extra headline, mom. Just
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. My, Not so much with my mouth.
I'm sorry.
Now, oh, where was I? Oh, did I do smart mouth? No. Oh, here we go, man. Mm-hmm. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing the sulfur gas, and that's where the funk comes from. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as the bad breath. So, Dr. Drew loves this stuff. I love it, but he loves it for a scientific reason. He says, oh, the two-parter. It does. It works. It takes the bacteria, and it stops it from producing sulfur gas. So look at him. He's over there
look at
with
this
the big
guy.
Thumbs up in
Jesus,
the, in the studio.
And chewing the gum.
He means
it, man.
Total
package.
Foul breath can ruin any social situation, sabotage relationships, career prospects. Don't let it happen to you. Go to smartmouth.com, or you just go to where you shop, Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop, Smart Mouth. All right.
Here's what I hope from that song. It blows up and gets so popular that Reno puts out some sort of a thing being like, we heard the song. We heard what you said. You
right.
can't come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Or they somehow misinterpret it like they do with The Boss and Born in the USA or something where they think it's a real pro, but it's more of a Vietnam anthem, but they think it's about
a
that.
Theme.
Yeah. I love it. I love it when a square misinterprets something.
Yeah. Circle doesn't get the square.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Podcasting Masterclass coming up, Irvine Improv. That's August 5th at 9:30 in the AM. It's going to be 6 hours. I'll be there. Mike will be there. Norm Pass will be there, and we'll tell you everything you need to know.
I'll be there, too.
Podcasting.
I'm starting a new podcast.
Tony Danza's coming there, too.
It's called Danza Bonanza Stanza. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm working on the title, but it's basically me on a elliptical machine talking about my old softball games.
I love that.
7-2 in 1998. We lost to the Juggernauts. Bonnie Hunt was on that team.
Corolla. I'm Ms. Morano again. Corolla Drinks, and they have we have a music festival and a comedy event. That's coming up Saturday, July 29th, South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Lots of cool bargains and stuff, and Max Zapata's band is going to play there, Loxy, and... just go to Corolla Drinks and figure it all out, would you please? It's going to be a cool event, though. Oh, Dawson's band, too. Sorry about that, Dawson.
Hell yeah.
And for the merch, if you want it, it's restocked. All the buck slips and everything. You can go to amcorolla.com for all that. And that'll work for now. So, and just go to AdamRayTV.com to find out the live shows.
And the podcast with Brad, of course.
We love Brad. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Brandon Rain, Gina Grant, Bob Bryan, saying mahalo.
Yep, this is happening.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And for tickets and info on everything, including the Corolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.